Three. Wait, we're not filming today.
We're not. Wow, what a.
I am.
No, off to a.
We had a good cold open there, but we had the. You just had to insist on the clap.
Sync. You know what?
That's true.
Well, I hadn't hit the record button yet, so we would have missed the cold open. But the cold open in question was a Minion peanut butter meme, so I don't know if
that's funny.
Piece together what you will about that.
I don't know if that's the best cold opener.
Yeah, who's next? Yeah, that's the line.
Well, hey, thank you for tuning in to the Movie Rubric. I'm Timothy McDaniel.
Cole Wright.
Jonah Jobai.
And this is technically the season finale for season two. We're going to record a bonus episode after that, but this is it, boys. Jonah, I'm glad you could join us this year. This being your first time regularly on the podcast, and maybe we'll talk about this more in the bonus episode. What are your thoughts? Have you enjoyed it?
I've enjoyed it.
Back for season three?
I would like to come back for season three. If the studio will have me.
We'll discuss your contract.
Cole, I was going to say, we're going to review the footage, you know, but we thought you'd had a good year audition tape.
Yeah, I hope I don't get canceled, you know. I mean, I don't have anything about me. I said a few things that might be a little controversial.
We both really enjoyed your Yoshi impression.
Thank you. That was retro. That was when I was a part-timer.
That got you some bonus points.
Tyler, you did mention last year's anniversary episode, like, we need to get Joan on the podcast more. Sure enough, he's just on it full-time now.
Oh, yeah. So whatever I say on the anniversary episode happens. We need to get Margot Robbie on the podcast.
Yeah. And Haley Seinfeld as well should come back.
I went like sarcastic, horny brain for the bit, but real talk, hold up. I'd like to retract that. We need to get Corey Wong on the podcast more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, we should. Corey Wong.
We know he listens to this.
Yeah, he does listen.
Hey, Corey, you know, we're BFFs.
Yeah, friend of the show.
Cole's buying a. I'm pointing. They're like, this game where they're Cole's. We should have filmed. Cole's buying a Strat tomorrow, Corey.
I don't know if I'm buying it tomorrow. I'm going to look tomorrow.
He's dipping his toe into the Stratosphere.
He's going to consider buying it.
The Stratosphere.
I went to one shop last night. They really didn't have anything in the price range that I wanted to spend. So whatever I buy is going to have the Corey Wong pickups in it. I'm just going to put those in.
Ooh. Yeah. I'm excited to see this. I bought a Joe Dart bass recently. I can't play anything Joe Dart plays. Cole can actually play some of what Corey plays. So I'm excited to hear how it sounds.
Tribute band incoming.
Whenever I was typing up my notes about things to shoot the breeze about, things to talk about, I put B-dubs on there as we were leaving the theater. And I was like, why did I put B-dubs? And I put it on there. I think the only reason I put it on there, but I forgot to mention it, was for the maple chipotle wings.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we're going to discuss those? Yeah.
They were good.
Those were really good. And I guess I just had them on my brain whenever I was typing this up. I was like, oh, let's talk about the maple chipotle wings. And I'm looking at my notes. I'm like, well, why? I will say Jonah introduced me to Letterboxd, and it changed my life. We scrolled it kind of like how you would scroll Tinder for just like...
Or it's better than Tinder.
Yeah, 30 minutes there time. While we were... Oh my God, like
it's addicting. It's
like an hour because... maybe that's what I was putting beat-ups on there for. I don't know. Yeah,
maybe. But, it was fun.
You opened our eyes on that.
It becomes like second nature. Like you watch the movie like, oh man, I got a Letterboxd.
You know what? I got a new thing to do when I'm taking the crap now.
Exactly. Just go scroll Letterboxd.
Go scroll Letterboxd. Okay, maybe that's what I'll start doing instead of playing Balatro.
Oh, dude, don't even get me started on Balatro. I could talk about that all day.
Maybe we need to do a Balatro spin-up podcast.
We do.
And then I'm actually going to talk about this more on the anniversary or like the end of the year episode. But like, I undersold Dollar Tree. I really did. And I'm just going to leave it at that for now. So, hey, we went and saw all the stuff that we're talking about was because we went and saw the movie Heretic. Starring Hugh Grant. I put these on here. Where did it go? Hugh Grant, Sophie Thatcher, and Chloe East. I knew of Hugh Grant. You guys ever heard of the other two people?
Chloe East looked really familiar, but then I looked up her IMDb and I didn't know any of the stuff that she was in.
And Topher Grace as well.
Yeah, Topher Grace was in.
Briefly.
Oh, was he?
He was the father.
Father,
priest.
Okay, the elder priest. Okay. I didn't realize that was him.
Venom. About made his way into
the Venom resin there.
The OG Venom.
Well, Sophie Thatcher was in Maxine. I don't know what she played, but I didn't like Pearl or any of those X. I didn't care for any of those. I thought that they were bad. I did write down a couple quick facts about the movie here. Trying to fill the role that Josh filled. Josh, if you're listening, we want you back. Yesterday, it's actually a pretty big moment for this movie. It surpassed 25 million worldwide, which officially puts this movie in the top 10 grossing movies, horror movies, sorry, the top 10 grossing horror movies of this year.
Wow, that's impressive.
Is impressive considering it's A24. It was going up against some big heavy hitters like Speak No Evil, Late Night with the Devil, and a couple others. So it's doing pretty good. And it supposedly had an estimated production budget of only $10 million. So it's
really
doing really good for itself. And was this the first week it was out?
No, it's been out a while, I think. I want to say it was in October this came out.
It probably was.
I thought it was more recent than that. But I
can't keep track because we never get A24 stuff. It was just a
Yeah.
I know. Crap.
Great that we got it.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say we never get A24. This was directed, written and directed by Scott Beck and Brian Woods, and the only movie of theirs that I could find that I knew was A Quiet Place.
Oh, he directed that?
Wrote and directed A Quiet Place. Well,
that was part one? Movie.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And part two, even though part two was poo-poo.
I thought that was all John Krasinski's baby there. Maybe just producer, I
According
guess.
To IMDb, Scott Beck and Brian Woods wrote and directed A Quiet Place. Now,
that makes sense, I guess.
Take that what you will. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
I'll take your word on that.
Yeah, John might have just been a producer, maybe, I guess.
Yeah. I went back and I listened to our like audio clip that we did as we were like getting ready. The movie was about to start, and it's just indecipherable.
Indecipherable.
It's just awful, so I'm not going to bother playing it. But I will ask you guys, what were your guys' thoughts as we were getting ready to go into this movie or just kind of like leading up to it?
It's a horror movie, and it's A24, so I was expecting disturbing, uncomfy feeling, and just overall just... insane nonsense to happen.
Insane nonsense.
Insane nonsense. I whispered that too low. The mic probably didn't even pick it up. Cole, is it safe to say that you're an A24 simp?
I like A24. So I will check things out because anytime A24 has that logo on there, my interest is immediately piqued.
You like a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit.
You know it's going to be unique.
Hit the bottom of
least.
The table a bit?
Yeah. It's going to be a talking point, you know, at least.
Yeah. Because, you know, you got to look at their body of work here. Midsummer, mm-hmm. That's a lot of talking points. Men, not great, but a lot of talking points there.
Yeah.
The Lighthouse.
I like The Lighthouse.
The Witch.
I actually am the only one in my friend group, and maybe this group too, that I didn't love The Witch.
I didn't watch
it. It's not
Witch.
My favorite. I enjoy it. Hereditary.
I liked Hereditary a lot.
Did they do The Whale? Was that A24?
They did The Whale.
Yeah.
They don't do only scary movies. They've got I just had a trailer from them, from their YouTube channel pop up on my YouTube today. It came out yesterday. It was something.
That Christmas movie coming out is also A24.
I guess I don't know about the Christmas movie. It's a movie about this very beautiful woman in Italy. And like, I watched part of the trailer and I was like, oh, this isn't a scary movie. This just looks like it's like a bunch of old
very
men.
Artsy.
Yeah. Just drooling over this girl.
Yeah. They did Marcel the Shell with Shoes On too. That was also A24, which is not like anything they've done before.
So I like A24.
I think with Iron Claw, they did that too.
Oh, that was good.
I still haven't seen that.
It's really great.
Good.
It'll make you A little teary weary.
Like they put out stuff, and unfortunately, they also did Bodies. But that one was terrible.
That was actually going to be my next question. Do you have a least? Because you're the official A24 fan here.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite or a least favorite A24 movie?
I mean, Hereditary's up there.
Okay.
Well, I want to confirm Hereditary's actually A24 though. I feel like it is.
I listen at this point. If Cole says something, I just believe him. Nah, I'm like, yeah, he's probably right. Yeah.
Human database over here.
He literally, like, he has that, like, filing cabinet brain that he can just pull up information that really doesn't matter, but he just has it on
lock. It's A24.
I never doubted you.
So Hereditary, as disturbing as it is, I like Midsummer.
I like Midsummer. And this movie gave me some Hereditary
vibes
from time to
this
time.
This one, I will say, is pretty up there on the
pretty
list.
Up there? Yeah.
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 And what's your least favorite?
Bodies was boring.
Yeah.
That one was just like...
Yeah, normally
like,
I can...
The worst thing A24 could do is not have a movie where there's talking points.
Yeah.
This one had nothing to really discuss.
You're talking about Bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I normally can lock into a movie. Whether it's good or bad, I can lock in, I can break it down, I pay attention, it's what I do. Bodies, I found myself like wanting to like take a nap.
Well, that was after we watched Men. Also, we watched we had a double feature. We had to get
should
the,
have started with Bodies, maybe. Yeah.
Men was
the beginning.
Was wild, and it was just messed up enough where like it just kept your attention. Like, okay, what's gonna happen now?
Some freaky thing happens. Yeah.
And okay, so Men does a thing that I think will lead us into some of my talking points about Heretic later, where Men occasionally thinks it's doing something super intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
When it's really not, like, it's like, oh my gosh, we're so smart. Audiences aren't going to get this. We're going to blow their minds. Like, they're going to be connecting all these dots and be like, whoa. And like, there's a couple things in Men that I think are really cool. But I think at the end of the day, it's like, oh yeah, that's like the place to take that. And like, it thought it was smarter than it was. I kind of felt that way every now and then with Heretic. But I'll go into that a bit more. So
they had something they were trying to push. Like they had their perspective they were trying to push on with this movie.
Yeah, by the end, there's a clear message I mean, I mean, pretty much, I don't want to spoil anything.
You know, but, I might actually disagree with you a little bit. So, yeah, let's actually, so let's get into it. So, I was going to say, so thumbs up, thumbs down, should people watch this movie or skip it, maybe wait for streaming? I'm going to say one thumbs up if you like A24, if you like spooky movies, and not even spooky, like, in the sense of, like, body horror or jump scares. It just makes you uncomfortable. It's just, like, something that you're just going to cringe at in a good way. I'm one thumbs up. Go see this movie in the theater. Support A24. Otherwise, wait for streaming and watch it with, like, on the couch with some popcorn.
I'm two thumbs up. I love this movie. Mm-hmm. I think for, like, a horror movie, this is going to, you know, obviously recency bias, so you can't really say much. I can't say much now. But, like, I could see this as time goes on. If, you know, maybe I'll watch it a few months down the road. Still holds up. It may be in the discussion, is it going to be in my top five, top 10 even?
Scary or general?
Scary.
Wow, okay. Still, though, that's still impressive.
It's gonna see. I'm just going to see how it holds up over time. I can't give it that yet. But
yeah, that's impressive. Jonah?
I'm going to give this one thumbs up. I thought it was very well made, super entertaining, very well written, and spooky.
Spooky.
I'm going to give it an asterisk. I'm sure we might talk about this later with the spoiler stuff. I will say that, like, if you are, like, a person of faith, depending on, like, how you are with it, a movie might make you a little uncomfortable with some of the talking points. I still think you should watch it, though. I still think it's a good movie to watch. But, I mean, if you want a lighthearted horror movie time that's not going to make you do a lot of deep thought, then I would probably say you wouldn't want to watch this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're a person of faith.
It's a rough watch.
It gets your mind going a little bit.
Okay. Now, this next question is primarily for Jonah.
Okay.
But I think I'll probably wind up answering it too. And Cole, you feel free to answer it as well.
I gulped.
Jonah,
mm-hmm.
What would you give this on Letterboxd?
I would. Ooh, that's tough. I can't even remember if I rated it or not.
I think afterwards. I want to start asking, like, what are Letterboxd?
I don't think I would.
I would give it a 4, 4.5.
Okay.
I think it's a really good movie.
Pretty high. Yeah.
I want to give it a 5. 5 is like my all timer. So I want to put this in an all timer category. Yeah. But I'd say 4, 4.5.
Yeah.
It's great to really great. So
I would do probably 4.5, honestly. I don't know if it's quite 5 yet.
Yeah.
We'll see as time goes on.
I think I'm a 4, but I actually lean the other way. Instead of 4 to 4.5, I'm a 4 and I lean down to 3.5.
That's fair.
Like, 4 is like a fantastic movie, and then 5 is like, I consider it as perfect as a movie can get.
Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Awards.
Like, it's going, like, I'm going to buy the movie if it's a 4 or 5. Like I'm going to buy the DVD if it's a 4 or 5.
Yes.
Yeah. Like,
like, what'd you say?
No,
like,
don't, he didn't say
like
anything.
Small Soldiers.
Yeah.
Shut up. Classic movie.
He's having like a nom flashback over here.
Here, Fortunate Son playing in the background. All right. Wee woo, wee woo, wee woo. Let's jump into talking about some spoilers. So if you've not seen Heretic and you are concerned about spoilers, this is the part where we encourage you to tune out. Maybe go listen to one of our other episodes.
I'm a creep.
I'm a weirdo.
Oh, no.
What am I doing here?
That song came on my Spotify earlier.
It did for me too.
I was cracking up.
I had the DJ going and he was like, hey, based off what you've been watching and listening to, we think you'll enjoy this take. And it like came in and I was like, oh my gosh, does he know I went and saw Heretic?
He knows.
There's your first spoiler, everybody.
Yeah.
There it is. So yeah, we're in a spoiler territory now. Synopsis wise of the movie, I normally start with like favorite character, least favorite character, but I want to go off something Jonah said about like if you're a Christian, this movie might rub you the wrong way.
Yeah, or any faith, really, to be honest.
They kind of talk about it.
Yeah.
Something I loved about this movie is I feel like the questions that he poses to them and the questions that he poses to himself are questions that most Christians have probably asked and studied at some point.
Themselves.
I'm not going to say...
Or we talked with someone else before.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not going to say all Christians, but I feel like almost everything he said like are questions that... I don't want to say the term like good Christian, but like you're reading the Bible... And if you're actually studying it, if you're actually wanting to engage with it, you are going to have questions and you're going to go, now, wait a minute. Because that's just anytime you read anything, if you're actually taking it seriously, you're going to have those questions.
Yeah.
I appreciated that the questions he asked and the questions he posed are real questions that I think many, many people are struggling with. And the movie framed them in both lights. They framed them in the, yes, this guy is super smart. Everyone should applaud him. He is dismantled Christianity, and then he also, like, the movie was very clear to be like, this guy is a nut job and he's insane and this argument doesn't actually make sense. Like,
yes,
they did both, and I thought that A24 did a shockingly good job of walking that line of making you think critically about faith and religion while not necessarily saying what their opinion on it. Like, they kind of went both ways with it.
Yeah.
I really liked that.
Yeah, and I also, like, on that note, I think this is mainly, like, applause to Hugh Grant. Because, like, this...
He killed it.
He killed it. And, like, if you like, read his dialogue... If I told someone what he says in this movie or the dialogue, it sounds like this movie is, like, a Reddit atheist neckbeard talking for an hour and a half.
I mean, after
but it doesn't come off that way because he's so good.
After he mentioned... After he compared Jesus and Jar Jar Binks, I mean, that's... Well,
We were at B-Dubs, and I saw it pop up in my letterbox when I was scrolling the recent reviews, and I didn't realize what movie I was reading it for. I was reading the review, and then I saw the title of the movie. So the review said, did Hugh Grant really just compare Jesus Christ to Jar Jar Binks? 5 out of 5. And I looked over, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's Heretic.
That's Heretic. I have to get out of here now.
I'm like, how is that even going to come into play? Like, oh,
it does come into play. That's how. Yeah, but I mean, like, it was executed well enough to where it doesn't come off as like, like, you roll your eyes, like, oh, here's this, like, Reddit atheist talk. It's like, oh, this is actually, like, he has enough charisma to where it's handled really well,
like,
I feel like.
I'm going to be real. I've slept on Hugh Grant because really the only thing I, like, really know him for are, like, what we watched at movie night.
Yeah.
Like.
So Notting Hill?
Notting Hill in 9 months. But then I see him in this, like, this dude is great.
This is one of his best performances. I've seen him in other stuff, like Paddington and Wonka, but he's never had something like this that's, like, serious enough for him to really shine.
You just off the wall insane.
Yeah. So good.
I feel like I'm with you, Cole. The only movies I'd really seen him in were like Notting Hill and...
9 months.
9 months.
Did you not see Wonka?
The new one?
Yeah, where he's an Oompa Loompa.
No.
Oh, is he an Oompa Loompa?
He's the Oompa Loompa.
But I'm with you. This is hands down my favorite Hugh Grant performance. Like, oh, yeah. Far and above, like, my favorite Hugh Grant performance. And he just brought such a fun, nervous vibe to everything he did was just dripping with this fun, goofy, unhinged energy. I think Hugh Grant should have been doing scary movies the whole time. I think he was in the wrong field. I know he was a very successful rom-com actor, but he was doing the wrong thing.
Yeah, this is peak heel turn.
He was giving me Defoe type energy with how creepy he was.
Yeah.
Like, he was getting that level, and, you know, I love my boy Defoe.
Oh, we know how much you love Defoe.
Yeah, yeah, Mr.
Yeah, Jonah.
We'll talk about that later. Yeah, yeah. In the bonus episode.
We just really want to do the bonus episode, like, really bad. We're just wanting to jump to it. All right. Well, I will go ahead and I'll circle back now. Favorite character? I'm gonna assume. I don't want to assume, but I'm gonna assume that everyone's favorite character was Mr. Reed, Hugh Grant.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. I would agree with that. Yeah.
He killed it. Cannot stress that enough, but I do think that the two actresses did a really good job, too.
Yeah, it felt very natural acting.
Yeah, the blonde girl especially just pulled off that, like, church girl energy so well.
Sorry, innocent church girl, yeah.
Like, hasn't seen anything, hasn't, like, you know, not seen the outside world kind of thing.
Yeah, it's
definitely
really,
was homeschool.
The part where she, sure, like, does the drum roll on her chest and, like,
her stomach, yeah,
so enthusiastically, just, like, giggling as she's doing it. I was like, oh my gosh, I know this girl. Like, I know people like that. Yeah. And it's just want to, like, be like, hey, sweet, maybe don't. But, like,
I don't do that, yeah.
Stop being weird.
There's a couple scenes where it does a really big close-up of their face and their eyes are darting and they're kind of twitching a little bit. And, like, you can tell, like, they're just really, really uncomfortable. And I think they just nailed that energy so much.
Their performances were great, too. I mean, not to have Hugh Grant overshadow them. They were all great.
Like, there wasn't a bad performance in this movie.
No, not at all. I think that everybody absolutely,
the four characters.
Well, that's what A24, I think. Well, obviously, they can do big things like Midsommar and things like that, make that good. But when it's simplistic stuff, like, there's very few sets, very few characters, like The Whale, not a horror movie, but, like, they can just, like, focus on the acting and telling the story.
It's
and
like five characters in the whole
five
movie.
Five characters, and you have, like, one or two sets. You make that work, and it's
that's
great.
The best kind of, and that's the kind of stuff that I love, though, is, like, I love, it almost felt like this is, and I said this about The Whale as well, I feel like this could have been a play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? The set was very, very simplistic. It had four or five characters. The other people could have been extras. It almost could have felt like a 1.5-act play like you'd see somewhere. And I love that.
Yeah, that was really good. And with the girls, I was going to say the two girls, like the writing. I don't know. I just thought the writing was so good for them. Because, like, you know, like you said, you have the blonde girl. I can't remember the name. It's like Baxton or something.
Hold up. Oh, gosh, I could have swore I had it.
Sister Paxton.
Sister Paxton, and it starts with a B.
I'm gonna pull this up to cast.
I thought I put their names down, but maybe I didn't. Sorry.
No worries. But either way, it was a. They both
Sister Barnes and Sister Paxton.
Barnes and Paxton.
Okay.
It was nice because one of them, you know, was she said that she was raised in church her whole life, and then one of them like became a Mormon later, and I feel like the way they were written. It's just so like you can just tell like the way they're written, like the you can tell the one with the black hair, I can't remember which one's which.
Yeah,
you can, just the way she acts, the way her writing is, you can tell that she wasn't raised in it. And like at the beginning scene where they're like talking about like the porno,
that was so funny.
And Magnum saying, condoms,
like when they sex each other, it's like dang, this is like literally like the most spot on
impression of
door to door Mormons. I think they could possibly do.
So,
here.
Just thought of like homeschool church girls like the whole time.
So
and
you brought that up. So when I saw like and they kind of established those characters like what their backgrounds are, obviously we don't know where the movie's going at that point. We roughly know where it's going because I saw the initial trailer. I thought there was going to be more like. The maze aspect of it, like there's gonna be more.
Yeah,
I thought it was gonna be a big maze based on the trailer, but it's really just like
two rooms,
mostly one room.
Yeah. And I thought at one point, like there was gonna be a heel turn where the good like homeschool church girl, well, I'm just assuming she's homeschooled, was gonna be like do like some sort of heel turn.
Like I don't believe. Like and then the other girls be like I really do believe.
Yeah.
The other
I thought that's where this was going.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a lot more Jigsaw, like from Saw. Like,
yes, I did too, yes.
If you want to escape the room, deny Jesus and cut your wrist or something. Like, I don't know why I turned into...
Gouge out your eye.
I don't know why I turned into the parrot from Aladdin there. It was not,
Jafar!
Not intentional.
Gouge out your eye!
Not intentional.
Okay,
not
can
at
you
all.
Imagine if Gilbert Godfrey was like, was Hugh Grant role?
Eat the blueberry pie! I would have destroyed the mic.
We need to make that now. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Rest in peace, Gilbert Godfrey.
Ripperoni.
If only. Yeah. AI is made for this, though.
Get him in there. Get him in there.
Someone please make this if you're good enough to do that. Jeez.
Book of Mormon.
Monopoly.
Have you heard of Twilight Imperium?
Whoa, what are you bringing Twilight? Oh, I guess board games. Board games. Like, what are you bringing Twilight in here?
Well, because that's what I said in the theater when he had the board games and everything.
He's going to bring up Twilight
Imperium. He's going to like, and here's the new edition, Twilight Imperium.
Twilight Imperium, for his analogy, would be like if there was a religion that was overly complicated but left no stone unturned and you couldn't argue against it because it had such well laid out arguments. And that would be the Twilight Imperium
that's
that he slams
the board
down.
Game comparison.
Like yeah, it's like, you know, there's 13 Bibles you gotta read, but man, does it cover everything.
Yeah, I have no questions after that.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I was gonna say least favorite character, once again, might be an easy slam dunk, Elder Kennedy.
Yeah, he kind of the worst elder in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, the performance was fine, and it was fine, but I mean, if I had to pick someone that was the worst.
I mean, there's only a few characters, and really, you know, he really didn't, like, push anything on, we know these girls went missing. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They weren't here. Like, he's just taking it at face value.
Yeah, and there's a part where Hugh Grant is like, I tried calling the police or something. He's like, I'm sure they're fine.
I'm sure they're fine. Yeah. Yeah.
What the heck, dude?
You're two young girls going door to door missing. It's the middle of the night. You're not going to call.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, he was hands down my least favorite character.
Like, why even include that part in the movie?
Yeah.
Like, he did nothing.
I do know. I do think he served a role, which was the girls knew someone was coming for him.
Yeah. Yes. And I really liked. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I think that was the role he served. Was like and I think that Hugh Grant's character knew he would be coming too because he worked that into his skit, as we found out later. So like he served the role in that the girls and him knew that someone would come check, and it created this suspense of like, okay, are we going to kill Elder Kennedy? But like, you're right. He was not implemented the best, and he as a character just sucked.
He just made some funny decisions. And well, one thing I did like about when he shows up is that he shows up and he's like, yeah, I kept waiting for him to bring up the bikes, and it kind of set things in stone for later because he doesn't bring up the bikes. I'm like, did they forget about the bikes? Like when they were riding, like he should have seen the bikes when they walked up. And then it shows him leaving, and the bikes are gone.
Well,
that gets you thinking, like, how did he do that?
Explains why the key was in the wrong pocket.
In the wrong pocket. Yeah. And then later, when you have the bike lock on the door, it's like, oh.
I kind of had the same thought too. I was like, surely he'd see the bikes, but yeah, I think Hugh.
As we know with A24, they keep their continuity in check.
They usually do. They usually do. I do. Okay, so I did. I'll go ahead. I'll segue off of that into my least favorite part, which was where I do think this film jumps the shark and goes off the rails a little bit in its third act, and that's all the women in the cellar. Talking about continuity, like, where is Hugh Grant getting?
Like, how many people are visiting him, like, that are missionaries?
I didn't know if all those people were supposed to be missionaries or if those are just, like, homeless people he kidnapped. But, like, where is he getting?
Because he made them, like, all the clones over
he
here.
He had, like, eight of them down there that he was, like, watering and, like, had brainwashed. He was misting one.
I interpret it as his previous victims, mainly because, like...
He made them all cold, so that way they're, like, corpse-like.
And then the lady, like... Like, it was trying to help them.
It's like, it's
not
real.
Went off the book. I was like, none of this is real. And remember, and then he cuts her finger off, which is a little funny.
Yeah.
He's like, she did go off book. Just cuts her finger off. It wouldn't have been funny.
I don't know why I chuckled when he came down after she, quote unquote, resurrected. And he opens that secret door and he, like, just, like, guides her in, like, in you go now. There you go.
Yeah.
He's just guiding like it's a pet.
So, he has so many things that shouldn't be funny, but just like,
he just makes it funny.
Yeah.
So that was my other thing. So he doesn't send that one down through the cellar hole in the floor. He sends her through the secret door that he entered and exit from, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But then whenever our blonde girl was running from him, oh, no, I guess she did come from the basement. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, you're connected. Right. Never mind. That part was fine. That part was fine. Either way, though, but that was my least favorite part of the movie. It feels a little too much to think that he has all these women kidnapped in his basement.
I guess we would have.
No one came looking for them, and he brainwashed them all, and they just obey him. And like that. Like,
that's Stockholm Syndrome.
I could understand if he like spent years of his life waiting for the perfect moment to capture some missionaries and or like someone in general. And he's like, hey, this is the perfect setup. I'm going to finally do the thing I've been wanting to do for years. But like to think that he's done it like a couple dozen times.
So this movie is under 2 hours long. I think this is one. This is a movie because, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of extended run times for the sake of them being long movies. But if it can add to the story, then do it.
Yeah.
I think if you could have maybe fleshed out explaining how he got all these people, maybe that would have helped. But like maybe add a little bit more runtime and give a little bit more backstory on that maybe.
Yeah.
I think
because it just seems like, okay, now there's all these ladies and we're here.
I almost wonder if like A24 movies have this reputation now of having like a OMG, what the frick moment.
Well, that's yeah.
And they had to have one.
Maybe. And like, I do think, I mean, that's
one of the more tame ones that they've done. Like OMG wise. I mean, look at Men.
I didn't feel that way personally when I was watching it, that it was too crazy. Cause I think it was just like, I was already kind of like, oh man.
It's like
this guy has a dungeon.
It would have been more crazy if he like, just had this random corpse.
If he had one, maybe, or a corpse, or two.
It's like, how the heck is he doing that? Or he would have, like, managed to, like, there wasn't the old switcheroo.
Yeah.
Like, but, like, there was. So.
If there had been one more twist, you mean?
Yeah.
Like, one more layer to it. Like, it was a fake corpse planted to convince her she was right, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then she actually was wrong. I don't know. I agree. That would have been gutter.
Yeah.
I don't know. I also wondered what would have happened because at one point the blonde girl wanted to go through the disbelief door just to make him happy and like leave. Like if
they both lead to the dungeon.
They both lead to the same place. I think we saw that coming. But what if they went through the disbelief door? Would he have been like, all right, well, my experiment doesn't matter. Okay, go home.
Yeah.
He just calls it off. Like,
I mean, like, what do you do at that point? Like the whole thing hinged on the fact that like
crap.
They want to go through that door. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It was interesting. Well, that scene that followed was my favorite scene, which was the Monopoly. That was my favorite scene, was the Monopoly explanation.
Yeah.
That was a good scene.
Like, the way that was presented, someone called him, like, a Reddit atheist, and, like, that is very accurate.
Yes.
And it's like...
But, like, executed way better and more charismatic.
Yes. Like, if...
He's a likable Reddit atheist.
I didn't roll my eyes when he did it.
No neckbeard, fedora, trench coat, Reddit atheist. Yeah. Just that scene was just hilarious, and I think it was, once again, we were like the only people in the theater laughing, which makes me feel weird.
I think there were people laughing, I think.
But it was so funny and so well executed, and then he started playing like the record like on repeat, and he had just all his like perfect arguments set up, and then the girl like confronted him and was like, this doesn't actually make sense. And then he's like, all right, time to choose a door. Just moves on. Yeah. He's like, I'm not going
to
argue.
He wants to do all the talking, but the second someone challenges him, he's like, oh, whoa, I wasn't expecting this.
He's a true Reddit atheist.
Reddit atheist.
He's like, I don't have a comeback for that.
I don't have a comeback for that, yeah.
He has all these other arguments just rehearsed, and then the second someone questions him on it, throws a wrench in it, it's like, I don't know what to change the subject.
My other favorite scene was... It's a tie was when they're getting ready to walk down the hallway to that room. That is such a stupid, small, simple thing, but just watching them slowly walk down the hallway with that statue in the corner, and it's just so unsettling.
Yes,
just
that is so statues good. Like
statue is creepy.
Like, if you ever been in a Catholic church or anything, they have those statues everywhere.
Ooh. Yeah,
they're creepy.
Yeah,
give me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, it's like I can't look at it. Can't look at it. Is
this movie just was really good? I'm kind of jumping topics here.
You're okay
about like. I feel like making you like eat, like it builds the tension, like so, like so, like you go in and he says some things like that are kind of uncomfortable. It's a little weird, like where's the wife? And then he's like, says something about polygamy, and like that's kind of an uncomfortable question. And then he finds the candle, and then it just gets worse and worse. And then it gets to the point later where I love the part where she's like, they're in the room now, the first room. And then the part where the girl's like, can we just see your wife and go home? And then he goes, all right. And then he starts to walk to the door and he goes, be real with me here. Do you really think my wife's behind the door, even though I've told you everything? And then I was like, oh, dang, we're in for it now.
Yeah.
We're
all gunky tonight. Yeah, like, we're such a gunky boy.
It's
gunky.
The prime of a cold season and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the, like how he thought it was a weird line initially, but it worked out where he just randomly brings up the, don't mind that the roof and the walls are made of metal.
Yeah.
Like, that's a weird thing to say. And then like it worked in, like, I know you didn't call anybody because it doesn't.
Yeah. And that was really good too. Cause I feel like
he's doing it with a smile on his face also.
Yeah. He's still like so happy all the time. Yeah. It was like at the beginning when, because I feel like I would have done that if someone
forgot about,
well, like the walls are made of metal. I'm like, that'd be weird, but I wouldn't think anything about it. I'd still go in, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Then he keeps saying, like, you can leave whatever you want.
Yeah.
Like, it's like.
But they can't.
They can't.
And see, that's what I actually would have enjoyed it. I think, I don't know. I don't want to say this for certain. I feel like I would have enjoyed it a little bit more if they actually could have left whenever they wanted to, but they chose to stay to prove their faith.
Yeah.
I think that could have been a powerful thing. But he kept saying you could leave whenever they wanted, but they actually couldn't.
Because he got him locked in, like, he's just going to... Really, he's not like...
And
he's not like a serial killer, though. He just abducts.
I think he is, though, because he... And that's what I was going to say. That's where his character lost me. When he slit the one girl's neck, that's when he lost me. I was like, I love this...
Self-defense because he knew the other one was about to attack.
I don't know. Because
I think it was
because he didn't take...
Challenging him again.
Yeah, it's because she was challenging him, and he didn't take the other girl's letter opener because she stabs him with it later.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't think he knew she was about to attack. Where he went from this, like, charismatic... Yes, he's an awful, evil person, but, like, you're right. He isn't a killer. He's here to do an experiment to, like, prove a point. He kind of...
Became
sold himself a little bit when he killed that girl. And at that point, now I am no longer interested in what this guy has to say. I'm like, okay, we need to kill this guy and get out of here. Like, so at that moment, it was a really good jump scare because I didn't see it coming. Whatever that sound effect they did was that, like,
and the zoom in and everything.
Yeah. I almost like didn't believe. I was like, is this a hallucination? I was like, nope, this is real. She's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good. So, Jonah, was your favorite part where they're in the first room? Is that what you said?
Oh, no, I didn't say my favorite
part. What was your favorite part?
Oh, man, that's hard. I think...
A lot of good ones.
A lot of good ones here. There's so many good lines.
Can't eat blueberry pie again, though.
I think...
Lucky for me, I didn't like blueberry pie, so
thankfully,
good.
Yeah.
I'm solid, yeah.
I could see you being, like, a missionary, like, walking up to his, like, oh, my wife made blueberry pie. No, I'll pass.
You know what, actually, sir? I'm going to go to the next house.
Yeah, I'm out of here.
I think they have apple pie over there or something.
I'm more of a pumpkin pie kind of missionary.
Yeah, I eat pecan back there.
You know what?
Continue on,
Jonah. Moose pie. Coconut pie.
Any more pies we want to name before we move on?
Pie tier list coming
really
up.
Bad
pie tier list. The food rubric is coming up next. Dang, that is such a tough question. I'm going to go with that. I'll say this. Not even a favorite scene, but the part that made me laugh the most is after he slits the girl's throat and... he kind of has to go off script and start ranting about a simulation.
Yeah.
Also, Reddit atheist moment. And he's talking about it, and he draws this picture. He's like, this is the simulation, this is the out. And then he draws the three circles, and he says, this is me and you, and then, well, that was Paxton. And he just goes on and goes, bye-bye, Paxton. I was like, that is, I shouldn't laugh at that, but that's so funny.
It was really good, though.
Yeah.
I like that he started talking about, like, oh, the flame acted weird to one of you guys. That's how I know we're in a simulation. But they had kind of preset that up twice. He stared at the blueberry candle really weird in the first room, and then he was messing with the candle again in the second room, acting weird with it too. So I like that even though that was off script, they kind of set that up a little bit,
yeah,
which was kind of nice.
It was set up, yeah.
No. So, okay. And then, Cole, did you say your favorite scene?
I didn't. There's a lot I liked about this movie. That's just like kind of like just take your pick. Another one that just made me laugh was like they're yelling at him. It was after the spider jump scare, and they're yelling. I'm like, what are you doing up there? And you just hear Creep playing, and he's just
another Creep.
He's just singing Creep over the.
Like,
this
funny
is
part.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
But like he was just great. Everything Hugh Grant did in this movie was great.
The first time he was like, have you heard this song before? And they were like, no. And he goes, oh, but I think you have. Yeah. I felt attacked because I have jokingly done that with people before, but I've actually done it about Monopoly to someone before. Oh. I did it to some students. So like, I felt really called out, especially when he whipped up Monopoly later.
Maybe this is you in the future.
Oh, I hope not. No, I'd asked people before. I was like, do you like Monopoly? And they're like, yeah, we love Monopoly. I was like, I don't think you do. I think you like hanging out with friends and you hate Monopoly. And then that was my argument. And I was like, oh, no, it's
he's right. Oh, he was right about that, though. How many people know that finished a game of Monopoly?
Oh, I'm right about that?
Oh, yeah. No, but he says that in the movie and you say that. Oh, like, yeah. No one's finished a game of Monopoly. No one
like,
really
very few
Monopoly
have actually finished it.
I have a running theory that no one likes Monopoly. People just like hanging out with friends. And Monopoly is the most commercially available convenient game that everyone knows how to play.
No, yes. More of the whatever the original is, like Landlord, whatever.
Landlord. World or something, yeah.
Yeah. No, more of a Twilight Imperium.
Yeah.
I'm more of a Bob Ross Monopoly.
No, we're going to get
guy.
Gilbert Godfrey and Twilight Imperium comparisons.
I have finished more games of Twilight Imperium than I have Monopoly.
Yeah, one of them's fun.
Yeah.
One of them's not.
The other one's Twilight Imperium. Oh, no.
Oh, Colton.
I'm kidding.
All right, that's the podcast. We're closing it up. Goodbye.
Yeah. No. I'm kidding. I joke.
All right, so... All right, I think that's everyone's favorite scene. So I was gonna say we've talked a lot of good about this movie. I shared that I thought it kind of jumped the shark when it goes to like the basement scene. Was there anything else you guys didn't like about this movie? What are its downsides? What are its negatives?
Not really. I mean, we talked about Father Kennedy.
Yeah,
Father Kennedy. That'd be the one thing I'm like, would really the priest actually not call the cops?
Like he's not really concerned, is he? Like he's looking, but he's like I don't believe it. You're concerned.
Yeah.
Like oh well, I guess I'll just take this guy at face value here.
Yeah, but I'm kind of nitpicking at that point. I guess.
Yeah, I mean like, but I guess you wouldn't have much of a movie then.
Yeah. And I kind of agree with you. I think when he does become psycho killer, he kind of loses some of his depth a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, but I don't think there's much. I mean, it's still tense, but like he's still. Has those moments of like, I'm gonna be the intellectual here.
Yes, I think.
But then it just less and less and less. He starts losing the aura, if you will.
He loses his aura, which maybe is the point. But
yeah,
I will say when he says that, oh, the true religion is control. I kind of did do a little like,
that's where we got here. Like,
that's where we're going with this.
And
but
I kind of put that on here, and I think my wife pointed it out too. Is she's like, I feel like that was kind of predictable.
Yeah,
and it like really was. Like,
yeah,
you kind of knew that's where this was going. Like,
yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah, I wish they could have had a better twist at the end than that. No. But
again, would have benefited if you would have added more story. Let it be a little bit more of a slow burn. It still wouldn't have to be your stupid length movie. It doesn't have to be 3 hours long. But you could have added 30 minutes to this. Still would have been under 2.5 hours.
Yeah, I thought it was paced really well, honestly.
Yeah?
Could have done more.
I was hooked the entire time on what was happening.
Yeah. And it, like a lot of the movie is just talking, but it's such like good thought-provoking.
Yeah, not really a lot of like music outside of like what he plays over the record and stuff.
Yeah. Nah.
Yeah.
That's good.
I agree, though. No, I totally agree with all those points.
When he's on his rant about like all the, you know, oh, well, all these other religions copied this religion here. It's like, and what do you think this leads us to? Phantom Menace.
Yeah. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Like, here we go. This is where Jar Jar is going to come in.
Yep.
He made some jumps. Well, I got one more question here. Might be our last question here for you guys. What'd you think about the ending? If I interpret the ending correctly, the black-haired girl did come back from the dead. Like,
yeah. When she hit him with the head?
She came back from the dead, hit him over the head with the... And I thought it was cool, because when they put the board up against that pillar, I was like, oh, we're going to use that later. And then I forgot about it. Yeah. They waited so long that I forgot about it.
It's
so,
not like an immediate use thing. It was a slow burn.
So she came back from the dead, hit him over the head with the pillar, and then after, when the girl got outside, she sees the butterfly on her hand, which is what she said she'd do if she ever got reincarnated as a butterfly. And I was like, okay, so the movie, I put in here, like, it's not supernatural. It's not a supernatural movie, but it also kind of is. Like, the movie at the last 5 minutes decided to take a supernatural-ish turn and, like, almost imply that, like, Hugh Grant was for sure wrong, the Mormons are for sure right, like, you know... God protected, things like that. I don't know. Like, what did you guys think of the ending?
I interpreted it much differently. So what I thought the thesis of this movie was trying to do, not that I agree with the thesis, I sound like a complete nerd.
Are you going to become a Reddit atheist now?
Yeah, I guess so. But when, you know, they're both like bleeding out, like she stabbed in the chest, Hugh Grant stabbed in the neck, and she says, like, I think it's beautiful that we pray, even though deep down we know it's not true. Because that's how I interpreted the ending was, because the girl comes back up from the dead. I thought that was just like, oh, she was just still kind of holding on. And then, but when she goes outside...
So she got her throat slit.
Yeah.
You're not just kind of holding on.
Yeah. Not only did she get her throat slit, but he cut open, like, one of her arteries.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not sure about that, but the reason that made me think that is still, like, the idea of the movie is that when she goes outside, the butterfly lands on her... hand.
Yeah.
And then it cuts into the butterfly's not there, actually. Do you remember that?
Yeah, but
so I thought that it was like she... It was kind of like playing to that, like...
Hallucinating a little bit.
I still felt like it was like a spiritual hallucination, if that makes sense. Like a vision.
Yeah, but I almost
she's seen a lot of crap in one night there. That's
yeah. I almost thought it was saying, like, hey, like... No, the butterfly didn't land on her finger. And she's not been reincarnated coming back, but, like, it's still nice, comforting that she thinks it did.
It's not about the butterfly, it's about the
So how do you think she got out?
Yes.
How do you think she got out if the one girl didn't come back from the dead?
I don't quite understand how...
Maybe he just dropped dead?
He
got stabbed in the throat, like...
I mean, he got nailed in the head. Yeah. I don't know about that, to be honest with you. I think maybe it's up for interpretation. But I thought with the butterfly not... Because I thought that, too, when the butterfly on her finger, I was like, oh, okay, well, yeah, it's saying that there's the Mormon afterlife or whatever, but then the butterfly is gone.
Yeah.
So then I thought maybe it's saying no, but it's nice that she... It's comforting for her to believe that.
I don't know.
I don't agree with
again,
that.
For no, you're bringing up a valid point, though. Yeah.
Yeah,
no,
A24. Always just a bunch of... Talking points. That's what they do. Dang near every movie is like the ending's open to interpretation. Mm-hmm. Like it's whatever you want it to be.
So how do you think about the ending, Cole?
I mean,
which one of us is right?
That's only two options you have.
Is it the two doors?
If you have a third option, you're wrong.
The Tyler door or the Jonah door? My door has pizza.
I know both will just lead to the dungeon, so it doesn't.
Yeah.
His thing is more optimistic though, so maybe you should go with his.
Mine is God's not dead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like I said, don't agree with my interpretation.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Tyler on that.
Yeah, no, I think I like your interpretation, though, Jonah. When she started praying, when she said that, it was like, I like to pray, even if there's no one there, like, I still think it's nice that we pray for each other. And then when the girl came back, I thought it was more like, oh, but there is someone watching over, you know.
Because that's also, like, I can't explain why the girl came back, so I don't know.
I don't know either. So, but Cole's right, though. Like, I like that. Yeah, it leaves it open to interpretation.
A24 is they just like, whatever you want your ending to be, that's the ending.
That's the ending.
It's true.
Well, your name makes me feel better, so I might pick that one instead.
Gotta switch over.
Switch over,
it's my ending. You can't have it. No. Go away.
I think I didn't go through the Jonah door. He flopped on that real quick.
Yeah. I changed my mind. We're going. Everyone who came through my door, we're going to the Tyler's door now.
Yeah, we went back up from the basement.
We're
wrapping
around. We're going back around.
Back to where we are.
Alrighty. Well, hey, you guys ready to plug this thing into the rubric?
I'm down.
Alrighty. I'm down. I will start us off with... Actually, I always start us off. Jonah, start us off with plot.
Okay. Plot. You know, I mean, I don't think I can have any reason to give Plot a 4. I think it might be 5.
Might be 5?
Okay. I just can't really think of anything. Like, the father thing would be the only thing I would critique. But that's, like, that's a bit much of a nitpick, I feel like, to bring me down to a 4. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, I'm going to go with 5.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, the father thing is definitely weird. You bringing up, like, how did he get all these women in the basement? It's kind of a weird thing also, because, like, you're thinking about, like, how did he pull this off?
That's true.
How long has they've been down here? Like, and how frequently is he letting these women out? Like,
yeah, like, how often is he running this gambit
on people? Like, what, like, if this is, like, a normal, like, Thursday for him, like, what is going on?
Thursday, time to terrorize some missionaries.
Yeah, I'm going to go 4, though, on that. 4. Still really good. There's just a few holes there that...
Yeah.
Like, I wish you would have... You had enough time still. You could have used a little bit more runtime and fleshed out that a little bit more.
Yeah.
Done something different.
I'm also going 4. Continuity aside, I just didn't like the ending. We had the blonde girl go from being the super, super scared, shy, timid girl to just... Now she's a detective, and she's Sherlock Holmes, and yeah, she's like...
Oh, you're right, you're right.
And, like, yeah. It was just like...
Adrenaline does crazy things.
It doesn't make someone Sherlock Holmes.
Have you ever been locked in a dungeon?
You're not wrong. But I just feel like we went from, like, I just saw my friend die.
A little traumatic.
Yeah, I just saw my friend die, and, like, he cut her open, and I'm in this crazy man's basement, and all of a sudden she starts Sherlock Holmesing it up, and then she's all... super competent all of a sudden, and like the whole basement thing just didn't make sense. Almost makes me want to bring it down to a 3, but I'm going to leave it at a 4. I think that those things don't ruin it enough to take it down to a 3, but I think it's far from a 5. So it's on the lower side of a 4 for me. I'm going to give it a 4.
Not to follow the army here, but I think you guys convinced me to bring it to a 4.
That was not my intent. I apologize.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. You guys brought that stuff up. I'm like, yeah, you're kind of, that's fair.
Well, I'm sorry to do that to you, Jonah.
But no, you're right.
I'm going to take it down to a 4, though.
I feel more comfortable with that.
Okay. All right, Cole, why don't you start us off with characters?
5. Wait, no, 5. No, sorry. I looked the wrong one. 4.
He was so ready so wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I looked at the wrong one. The Kennedy character made no sense. Like, it just, like, Father Kennedy was just like...
Oh, okay, the father.
It's like, that's a character. I mean, he's barely there. I mean, I almost didn't knock it down because of that. But I feel like I...
I don't know. You're right. Like,
it's weird because, like, I understand why he's there.
If they didn't show that someone was looking for them, I think I would have...
Been a bigger issue.
But I do think they maybe could have done it as, like, never, ever cut away from the house. And then just they're in the basement, you hear the doorbell ring, they open it, and it is, like, someone from the church.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, I'm looking for, like, did they check in with you? And then he's like, okay, well, have a good night. Like, I think that would have been better than them cutting away to him, acting like he's going to do something big, and then not have him do something.
It just, like, it leads to a lot of nothing.
But I also feel like I would take that point off in plot. Than I would characters.
Yeah, it's tough.
Because there wasn't really much to his character.
No, you know, I'm bumping up to a 5.
I think, like, the
character... I'm nitpicking in the wrong category here.
The non-extras, like the meat and potatoes, I think, yeah,
He's a very small character. It's not like he's, like, a forefront thing, and he's...
Yeah. My only complaint with him really was that he said that didn't want to call the cops, because I was like, that's a little silly.
Like, why would you not?
Like you said, it's also more of a plot thing. But other than that, like, I never really.
Because, you know, movie's got a movie, and we.
Yeah, because then the cops would do something.
Or Hugh Grant could have kidnapped him and killed him.
Yeah,
that's, like, true. Yeah,
call him. That's like, hey, I found him.
Yeah. Like, walked him up to the basement door and then slit his throat and pushed him down the stairs or something. Like, I feel like there's better stuff they could have done. I almost want to take the plot down to a 3. Oh, I'm not gonna do it. I might. We'll see how this
goes.
You
know what? I hope one day maybe we get an extended cut with some deleted scenes.
Yeah, I just feel like they could have used him a lot.
And Gilbert Godfrey gets resurrected in AI form.
The creep cut. The Godfrey cut.
So you're going to go back to a...
Back to a 5.
Okay. You know, my comment I made last rubric, and I think we should maybe consider it for season 3, is that we do combine characters with plot and we make this category acting. This would solve our problem. This would solve our dilemma.
Yeah. Would acting be plot, though?
No, the acting
would be performance.
Own, like, its own thing, like performances.
Oh, wait. Oh, hang on.
Characters would be involved in the plot.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And I guess also it is overall, everything's overall an enjoyment.
We're still learning the rubric. We're still learning. It's going to take us 3 to 4 years to get it out.
And then by that time, we'll just like be done.
Yeah, we're tired.
I am going to give characters a 4, partially because I think that the concerns you brought up are valid. And I know I kind of seemed like maybe I should put them with plot, but I do think they're valid concerns. And then also, while it could argued it could be plot, the shift of mentality with both Hugh Grant's character randomly turning into a murder hobo and then the blonde character suddenly turning into Sherlock Holmes. For those, all of those combined, I'm going to knock it down a point. I'm gonna put characters at a 4. Again,
this movie needed more time.
Yeah, the 3 characters we got were pretty good, but I think there's definitely a lot of room it could go up, but not bad enough to bring it to 3. So I'm going to give it a 4. Jonah.
I'm also going to give it a 4. I think they're great though. This is probably, if I could do halves, I'd probably do 4.5. But like I said earlier, like the writing with the two girls are so great. Like you can both like the reflection of like what like how their faith is or when they join the faith. You can just tell by the way their writing is. Hugh Grant, knockout bomb character. But I'm gonna knock it down 1 point because I do agree. Now that we've talked about it, that I think when Hugh Grant does go more psycho killer mode, he loses some of his, not a lot. He loses a little bit of his like charisma and like interestingness. You know, he's no longer like, oh, I just want to show you the way. It's like, oh no, you're challenging me. I'm going to kill you.
I will show you the way. Sorry. I just thought of the Uganda Knuckles.
You will do it.
Yeah. Okay. So you're going 4?
Going 4.
Okay. I'll start us off in the next category, visuals. I think this one is hands down for me. This one is where this movie does get an easy 5 from me. Like vibes, aesthetics, shot composition. There's one shot where she's slowly turning the blueberry candle and the camera is like on a gimbal
and it's following it.
Her, or like following her finger as it turns. And it's like a 10-second long shot of someone turning on a candle. Just,
you're like, what's going on?
Yeah. Whoever did like the cinematography and set design for this movie had fun with it. Yeah. And I'm going to give visuals a 5. Cool.
5.
Okay. Jonah.
5. I really also like the scene where, like she's running away like, and then it pans out and she's in the,
That was cool.
I always try to think because as someone who does like some video editing and has done very, very, very minor special effects work, like I understand the basics of special effects. I can't do any of it, but I understand the basics of it. When it zoomed out and had her in the maze running like that, I was like, that must have been so hard to throw together.
That was impressive.
And then it pans up and then the real actress comes into the room. I was like, that must have taken like
so good.
Real planning. And like, that was really cool.
Yeah. People got some wacky tricks out there.
Yeah. That was good. All right. Jonah, I'm going to have you, I'm probably always going to have you start this category for us. What'd you think of the audio?
I'm going to give it a 5. I thought like the sound design was good, like the creepy like water dripping from the ceiling. Mm-hmm. I changed my mind. I'm gonna give it a 4.
Oh my gosh! Whoa, mid sentence, he changed.
I've never seen someone flip flop. So
why?
I think if I'm doing 5, I'm like, dude, the audio was just insane. I could just feel it, bro. But it was just really great audio overall. Like I said the drip droop, so the water was really nice when Creep was playing through his little hole. I don't even know what he had there. You could feel the echo. It was really good. So maybe I should have knocked down to a 5. I feel like I'm getting some.
No, I mean, like, this
Jonah,
is,
I said you didn't have any bad takes, but
this is
on the list.
I'm glad we do the rubric. That is the whole premise of the podcast.
Yeah.
But I do admit that, like, it makes it hard because, like, should be the best. Did this movie have the best audio? No.
But there's nothing wrong with it.
Did the audio serve all of its purposes? And was it
there's very little
well?
Like as far as like there's insert songs for the benefit, like it's songs that they can
and
hear though.
Every now and then I think like, oh, we should just get rid of audio, but like Tenet comes to mind. And like in Tenet you can't understand a word they say. Like in that movie I'd give the audio I felt that way about Haunted Mansion. Haunted Mansion, the audio was not mixed well either. Like, it was just not used well. So, like, I don't know if we should get rid of it or not, but I think I'm going to stick with a 5.
I'm going to stick with a 5, too. Put me back up a 5.
Oh my gosh, you're arguing with yourself.
I am indecisive today.
We could convince Jonah to say literally anything if we wanted
That's why he's our third person.
You raise great points. You guys raise great points all the time.
I think for what this movie is doing, I have zero complaints about the audio. I do think it had some really good spatial audio from time to times in the theater. I will say I thought the audio in our theater sounded crisp. I don't know if they finally fixed all those speakers, but like our theater sounded punchy and good. Like it was really, really nice. Cool.
Five.
I figured.
I'd say that audio was
pretty good.
Pretty spicy.
Very few songs. A couple songs, I think.
They were used well.
Yeah, they're used very well.
Used really
well.
It's
not like they just like beat you over the head with it. And then even like there's really even like very little like ambient noise, even. It's just like it seems just like the acting is what's carrying. So what was it was used, when audio was used, like background stuff and everything, it was used well.
Yeah. There really wasn't a lot. I think you're right.
I don't remember any really.
Yeah.
They just let the atmosphere of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think when they're going down to the dungeon the first time, some music plays because it's like, freaky noise.
I'm sorry. What was that?
Like you said, it's about like there's not a lot of music. I think the only time I remember music playing was when they first go down the door into the dungeon room with the table, and it plays some music there. But I think that's it.
Yeah.
Actually,
he
might have played Creep there. I don't remember.
No, he played Creep when they're already in the basement. He's like, "What are you doing?" And then he's blasting Creep.
Yeah. No. All in all, I'm gonna keep audio to 5. All right, Cole. Final category, enjoyment.
I give it a 5. I love this movie. This movie was great. I thought like, okay, going into it, I'm very excited for it, but I didn't think it was gonna be like anything spectacular. Like. I thought, like, okay, this could be a solid A24 movie. I'm like, oh, man, this was really good.
Yeah.
I was blown away. This is why, guys, you always go in with low expectations.
That's true.
That way you can never be disappointed.
Is that why? Is that the reason to do it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Except for Borderlands. Except
for Borderlands. We all know that was going to be bad.
That was low expectations, and then we had...
We were still disappointed.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this movie was fantastic. I definitely will watch it again in the future.
I'm going to go 4. I really liked it. It was far from my favorite scary movie. Like, I know you said this was like in your top 10.
I could see it being in my top 10 at some point.
Yeah. I thoroughly enjoyed it, but I didn't like it as much as something even like The Menu, which we've seen somewhat
recently. I thought you were
going
to say The Minions.
No.
And I was really? I
didn't love those Minions. Love those little yellow guys with their...
Would you consider The Menu a horror movie?
Horror-ish. Like the thing, like it's a horror comedy. Like it's supposed to make you uncomfortable. But like I don't know. I think if you don't consider it a horror movie, what else do you consider it?
I like a thriller.
I guess. I don't know. Either
really,
way,
not really anything like spooky about that movie.
Either way, I liked this movie. I didn't love this movie. So like on my scale, like if a 3 is an okay, 4 is really like, 5 is love. I'm like on the I liked this movie a significant amount, but I didn't love it. So I'm a 4. Jonah?
I'm also going to give it a 4. I like this movie a lot. Like you said, I wouldn't say this isn't like an all-timer for me, I wouldn't think.
Maybe I'll watch it a few months and be like, you know what? Maybe it was just fine.
Yeah, maybe I'll love it in a few months. And I think this is just a really biased thing. But like, as someone like of faith, I feel like it has some uncomfortable conversations. So I think enjoyment-wise, I mean, I'll definitely watch it again. But obviously, it's not a breezy watch, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I'd give it a 4. It's still great, though. And the tension, I mean, there wasn't a second in this movie.
Very few A24 movies are breezy watches, though.
That's true, yeah.
But, very true.
Yeah, I think, like, every second of this movie, I had tension and I was on the edge of my seat. So, I give it a hard 4.
Hard 4. The 4 is hard. So that puts us at, I was at an 88, Cole's at a 96, Jonah was at an 88, putting us at a total score of 90.6. We round that up to a 91%. It's tied with The Wild Robot at a 91%.
I'm okay with that. I mean, I like Wild Robot a lot more.
Are you okay with it, Jonah?
I am okay. Here's the thing. I think The Wild Robot's a significantly better movie, but
I would agree.
But that's why we do this. That's why we do this. Like, I enjoyed The Wild Robot a lot more, but that's why we do the rubric.
Yes.
Here to be objective... And get the facts. That's why we're here.
The facts.
All right. Well, I think I had a closing question for us. What was my closing question? Hold up. Oh, I want to look at our score versus Rotten Tomatoes and Letterboxd. Jonah, do you mind to pull up the Letterboxd real quick? Uh-huh. And Cole, do you mind to... I was going to say I'll pull up the Rotten Tomatoes, but while I pull that up, Cole, I want to ask you, are there any movies, says this is going to be... Sorry, I'm talking and typing at the same time. Heretic Rotten Tomatoes. Are there any movies, since this is going to be the last one for this season, that we're not going to cover on the podcast, but you wished we would have, that you're looking forward to for this year?
I would have liked to do that. What is that movie? Here?
Oh, yo, yeah. The other A24 one with Tom Hanks? Yeah. Oh, that's actually true. I'm sad we're not getting to do that one, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we do a bonus.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe if we just go see it, we'll just do a random episode. Yeah. Who knows?
A mid-season episode.
Does look good.
Break episode.
I'm really looking forward to that. I think that one with Andrew Garfield looks really good.
Andrew Garfield and Florence Pugh?
Yeah. That looks really good.
I think.
What is
it's out, yeah.
What is that called?
We Live in Time?
Yeah.
I want to say.
That one looks like it's going to make me cry.
Yeah.
Trying to think. Wicked's out, honestly. I feel like Wicked would be a funny episode.
Oh. I've heard good things.
I'm
Chatter.
Yeah?
Yeah. But I'm no musical man.
I'm not a musical guy, but I feel like a musical episode where there's one musical guy and two that are not would be really funny.
Maybe. That's true. Maybe we do a bonus winter special. You never know. Like never the, know. Maybe we'll see where life takes us. Maybe we do a Wicked episode. Because you're right. I do think Wicked would be a fun episode to do. But as the musical guy, I'm actually not interested in Wicked, like the movie. It's one of those things, like, it's kind of, I kind of feel the same way I feel about a lot of, like they're making a live action How to Train Your Dragon. Just don't.
Yeah, I don't understand. The third one came out, like... that long ago.
Is that the fourth? Don't they have a fourth one?
There's three main movies. There's a lot of shows and many movies, though.
I don't know. But, like, here's the thing. Like, How to Train Your Dragon, good movie. Just
great movie.
Leave it. It works great as an animated movie. It doesn't need a live action. Yeah. Don't touch it. I feel that kind of way about Wicked. Not as strongly, because I do admit, like, if you don't have access to a professional theater... or the money to go to professional theater, it's a cool story, and I hate for you to miss out on it, but doesn't make me excited for the movie. So I'm not upset it's getting made. I'm just not excited about it.
Yeah. You guys know that Kraven the Hunter was coming out?
I forgot about that.
No. I didn't know that was coming out.
Like the Mortal Kombat character?
No, Kraven is a Spider-Man villain.
Oh, who am I thinking of?
Raiden?
Raiden the
No, Hunter? There's like a Hunter cyborg. He has got like a red cyborg guy in Mortal Kombat.
Oh, Kano.
Kano, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
I'm really excited for Sonic 3.
Oh, okay.
When I was a kid, I was like, oh man, Shadow the Hedgehog, so cool and edgy. And now he's in a movie. And the Shadow game they just put out was killer.
I heard it was really good.
And Sonic 2 was like one of the best video game movies. Maybe that's a hot take.
I've not seen it.
2 is significantly better than 1, and it loves it. It's not afraid that it's a video game like the first one is.
Okay.
Nosferatu is the other one I'm really excited for.
Oh, yeah. Nosferatu.
Yeah. Nosferatu.
Willem Dafoe. I don't know if I've seen anything for that one. You know what to say about Willem Dafoe?
Yeah. You'll find out on the bonus episode.
Stay tuned.
All right. The whole reason I obfuscated, I had you guys start doing that because I was looking it up. The critics, for the first time, maybe in movie rubric history,
to get it right,
tied with the critics. They gave it a 91%.
Look at them.
Gave it a 91%.
What audience gave it?
77.
Well, they're wrong.
Audiences didn't pretty like low. This movie as much as we did. So
I can see, like I said, I feel like if you're a person of faith, you might walk out to me and be like, you know what? I didn't really like that. I think that's valid. You know?
Yeah, that's, I mean, it is valid. Yeah. I think if you're a person of faith and you're scared, I'm not saying you need to watch this movie by any means. Like, I'm not saying Christians need to watch this movie. Like, that is far from what I'm saying here. But if you're scared to watch the movie because you're worried the questions will make you question your faith, like, that's not healthy either, though.
Yeah,
like,
it's good to hear opposing views.
Yeah, I agree. So, okay, we're at hour 3. I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up there. Thank you guys for tuning in. Here in just a minute, I'm going to grab a drink. Hopefully, we are going to blow our nose because we are just a bunch of sniffly coffee boys back here. Yeah. And hopefully, you'll tune back into our end-of-the-year bonus episode we're going to do. Thank you for tuning in, and have a good night.
I think you're Walt.